Hey, it's Melissa Moore. Welcome to Mile High Magazine. And I always introduce him as my favorite guest because it's true. And so this is National Self-Care Month. And I love what we're talking about today. If not now, when? And really taking a look at what are you waiting for in life. Kevin Peterson, licensed marriage and family therapist, and also founder of the Chronic Hope Institute. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Melissa. You are my favorite interview person also.
Well, I love it. I love it. You make me happy. Let's talk about this because this is right up my alley. And I think so many people, as it is self-care, and we think, okay, you know, take care of yourself, go to a spa, get a massage. But looking at some of the bigger things in life, tell me what your thoughts are behind the statement, if not now, then when?
You know, you're right. And this is such a big deal. And I have a couple of, like, three little short stories to kind of go behind it. But what it comes down to is, like you said, it's like National Self-Care Month. And people are like, yeah, go to a spa, get a massage, you know, da 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 da. But those are small potato things. And, you know, the big picture question is, are you really doing what you want to do? And are you truly happy with your life?
I love
you
this.
Know?
Yes.
And I went to for me, you know, when I, in 2007, I was, you know, making six figures, doing my sales career that I'd always done, and driving a car, nice place, blah, blah, blah. And I was miserable and sat down with a couple of friends of mine, and they were like, you know, we love you and we think you're amazing and we think you'd be the best therapist we've ever met in our entire life. And I was like, yeah. And I'm 43. And so if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can't wait for the lightning bolt perfect moment because there's just no such thing.
Yep, yep.
And so I quit. I leaped before I looked. I quit my job and applied to college, applied to graduate school at Regis. Unfortunately, I got in, but I had 6 months to kill. But, you know, I started graduate school when I was 44 years old, and it was the best thing that I ever did for myself. And that is the ultimate act of self-care is, for me, it was putting all my eggs in God's basket and saying, hey, I know you're going to take care of me, and I know you're going to, this is going to be okay. It's going to get probably a little interesting, but I trust you because I want something better for myself.
Yeah, yeah. So you put all your eggs in this basket. You look before you leap. Was there ever a time where you said, what have I done? Should I not have done this now? Or were you always like, I'm in it to win it and we're good?
Oh, there were definitely times when I was like, what in God's name was I thinking?
Yeah.
But you know, the really interesting thing is along those lines, I've also never felt like I made the wrong decision. But there are times when I've been a little bit scared financially or academically or emotionally. But, you know, at the same time, here's the thing. When I go to work every day, I come back feeling fulfilled and spiritually engaged and like I'm doing the right thing for the right people and that I'm okay. And so the other little story behind this is, in 2017, I went to a big giant seminar workshop in Los Angeles with 250 people, all the rock stars of the addiction treatment world. And it was put on by this amazing place. And they had this one psychiatrist speak, and she was this amazing woman. She's like, I'm a triple board certified Harvard psychiatrist, and I know I look like your typical Harvard psychiatrist. She goes, well, that's not what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about who in this room of you power professionals is truly happy with their life, 100%, no questions asked. And nobody raised their hand.
Wow.
Yeah. And then finally, one woman raised her hand and she said, okay, why? She goes, I just finished breast cancer treatment and I'm alive. And the lady said, and that's the answer.
Mm.
People that have faced death, either in themselves or one of their direct loved ones, they start to see things differently.
Yeah.
They start to understand that the day-to-day happiness is more important than, you know, accumulating massive wealth or making everything perfect. And they realize there's no time like today. It's today or never, you know?
Yeah.
And that was really reassuring for me. And then the third story is in 2018, my wife was diagnosed with colorectal and kidney cancer in April. And we looked at each other and we were like, okay, you know, we're going to get through this. And now it's time to start making some hard decisions because the truth is we want to live at the beach and we were living in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
So it was time to start making things happen because what exactly are you going to wait for?
Right.
You know? So that's my story. Those are my three stories on if not now, when? Because, you know, you only get one life. I mean, when I went to graduate school, I was 43 years old. I was 16 years sober. I'm like, I'm halfway through my life expectancy.
Yeah.
You know, what exactly am I waiting for? This giant lightning bolt to show up and say, you need to change in order to be happy, you know?
Well, and don't you think, too, you get to that comfort place in a job with finances where making a change can be scary because you may have to start over again, meaning you won't have that financial security.
Oh, yeah. No, I went from owning my own condo and my nice sports car to living in a basement apartment for $400 a month in, you know, on the island and living off of student loans and thinking, what the hell have I done?
Right.
You know, but I also was happy. And I also knew I was never going to miss a meal and I was never going to be looking for a place to live. I was always going to be taken care of.
Right.
And that's when you start to realize that's what's important, not, you know, the accumulation of stuff, you know. And you know, and again, facing death with my wife, you know, really made a huge, I mean, we were just like, whoa, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, it's time for us, you know, yeah, we're going on vacation. Yeah, we're moving to the beach. Yeah, let's go. Let's start enjoying our life today. And you don't have to have money to do this. This is about you deciding what you want to do with your life and where you want to be and who you want to be.
What were some of those things in your life? And I know death and facing that, you know, and getting a cancer diagnosis with your wife. But back when you had the six-figure job and the sports car and all of that, what was it internally in you where you knew that you just weren't where you wanted to be?
You know, what I was doing wasn't making any sort of impact on other people, any positive impact on other people. You know, I was punching numbers into a spreadsheet. I was, you know, selling things to please other people. And it really wasn't what I wanted. You know, to tell you the truth, I don't know if I ever told you this. If I didn't get into Regis, into the marriage and family program, I was going to go to the seminary and become a preacher, a minister.
I did not know that. You definitely have not told me that. That would have stuck out.
Yeah, because, you know, I just was like, you know what, I feel like I have a message to help people or a calling to help people, and I want to spend my life helping people. I don't want to spend my life accumulating stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that because it turns out you can't take it with you, you know. Don't get me wrong, I like my stuff, you know, but I started realizing that what was important to me was how am I treating the people I engage with on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm. and am I leaving a positive impact on the world around me, and am I helping people?
Yeah.
You know?
So it was this core desire to help people that wasn't being met with what you were doing.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't being of service, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of, you know, I'm in recovery, and in the 12-step world, we talk about being of service.
Yes.
And helping other people. So I was doing that in my personal life, but in my professional life, I wasn't doing that.
Mm.
And I needed those two things to match up. And so I just jumped into the deep end of the pool and turned out I could swim. You
know? You're like, I sure hope I have floaties.
Woo!
Why do you think it is with people that it takes maybe the second act in life or facing death or something huge to get us to do that leap of faith and leave what's comfortable and pursue what our passion and our purpose is?
You know, I think what happens is there's a lot of pressure on people to, you know, lead a certain life, follow a specific path. Like, this is the path to success. You go to school, you go to college, you get a job, you get married, you have kids, and, you know, da 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 da. You check all the boxes. And I think what happens is people get to about, let's say, you know, whatever the age is, 40, 45, 50. And they start to realize, okay, I did all those things. And it turned out I wasn't really doing that stuff for me, you know? And I don't really feel, I mean, I love being married and I love kids, but this isn't what my day-to-day thing is, that I am not spiritually fulfilled about how I spend my day. So how do I do that? Because again, at the end of the day, when things end, and my mom died in 2014, and my dad died 2 years ago, and I watched their process and I was like, huh, this made a huge impact on me because I thought, wow, and we would, we talked a little bit about this, my dad, and I could tell he had some regret. There were some things that he wished he would have done different. And so I thought, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be regretting things when it gets to that part of my life.
Right. So tell me this. So let's say that you've got that kind of inner turmoil going on where you know that you're not full of joy. You're not happy with where you are. Where do you start then? What's a good place to figure out, maybe if you don't know what your purpose and passion is? What is your two cents?
That is a great question. And I would tell you that for me, it was therapy. Mm-hmm. It was engaging in my spiritual community and sitting down and talking to people and saying, hey, what I did is I sought out people that had done, I had two friends that were the same age as me. One had gone back to nursing school and one had gone back to be a therapist. And I sought them out and I said, hey, tell me about this. And they were like, I just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I just couldn't keep punching the ticket and acting like everything was okay. I had to start. There was something inside me that said I had to do it. And I got to tell you, I have people call me all the time and like, hey, how did you do this? And, oh my God, but what about the mortgage? And what about the bills? And what about the stuff? And I'm the thing is, you have to make a decision in your life. Are you going to spend the rest of your life working to pay the bills? Or are you going to spend the rest of your life doing something you truly love and engaging in that process? And I'm not saying you should go bankrupt and the hell with the bills, we'll live on the street. I mean, I'm not saying be silly, but I'm saying that if it's really important to you, if this is really who you are and really what you want to do, I'm going to guarantee you that the doors will open. And it may not be exactly what you want, but the doors will open. There's always a way if you're willing to commit to doing the work.
Yeah, I've heard somebody say before that when you're willing to ask the tough questions and put yourself out there in life, that the doors will open, that you will start seeing answers if you can ask the questions.
Yeah, and I think the right people to ask are, people that are in the mental health profession, because, they'll talk you through, they'll tell you their experience, what it was like when they went to graduate school, if that's what you want, or teachers, or what I always say is seek out people that have made, like you said, second act, late in life changes, and say, how did you do this and why?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody I talked to, literally, the things they spoke was exactly what was in my heart. And I was like, that's it.
Yeah. What do you think it is? What is the fear that keeps us outside of the financial considerations? What is that fear all about?
What if I fail? What if it doesn't work? What if I do this and it's a total waste of time?
Yep.
And what if I, walked away from security and walked into a space of, who knows what, not insecurity, but the unknown. I think fear of the unknown is what generally scares the heck out of people. But what I would say is, you can always go back to your job. You can always be like, whoops, that didn't work, and you can always find your gig. But, the truth of the matter is I have never met anybody that did this, that looked back and was like, whew, thank God, that was a silly idea. They were all like, wow, thank God I did this. Mm-hmm. Thank God I changed when I did, because now I can truly enjoy my life.
And there's got to be a different sense of fulfillment when you feel like you're living out your purpose and your passion and it's combined.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't, trust me, it comes with days where you're like, oh God, it's killing me,
Right.
But that's because your heart's all in it, and that's okay. I would rather have those days than the days where I was just blah, and it's, my heart is fulfilled with helping people and with being kind, following through with people, walking through the door with people and saying, hey, what's going on? And every time somebody new comes to me and says, hey, I think I'm in trouble. I think I need some help. Or what would you think? I'm like, oh yeah, sure. Because I think at the end of the day, that's what matters.
Yeah.
And I don't think it matters. It turns out, I think when we die, I don't think St. Peter or God is going to check out my credit report.
He's going to say, ooh, you got dinged right here, Kevin.
Don't think you can come in here, pal.
Oh, man. Kevin Peterson, the Chronic Hope Institute, licensed marriage and family therapist. I always love talking to you. For folks that want to talk to you more in depth and learn more about what you do, where should they go?
ChronicHope.us. My Instagram is at Kevin W. Peterson. That's always the best place to start to get a feel for me. And give me a text, give me a call, give me an email. I'm happy to point you in the right direction or try to help you solve the problem.
All right, Kevin, I always love our conversations. I love the insight that you have. It is just always so refreshing and fun. And for more of these conversations, because I have talked to Kevin about on a monthly basis at this point, you will find them stored as podcasts podcast on your radio station's website. That's where you'll find this one there as well. So just go to the radio station, look up the podcast, Mile High Magazine, and you'll see the interviews right there. And then you can listen to them again, share them on social media, whatever works for you. Go out, have a great Sunday, be blessed, be kind to everyone, and I'll see you back here next week.